Christ, there was another famous birth in Bethlehem. The shepherd boy David was born there. He became Israel's greatest king. And from that time, indeed from before that time, there was the expectancy that the Messiah would come to Israel. And from the time of David onwards, it was believed that that Messiah would also be born in David's town, where David was born, in Bethlehem, and be a descendant of David. Come back to that in a minute. But where did the human life of Jesus really begin? In Bethlehem? If you believe that human life exists in a mother's womb, then of course he lived before his birth in Bethlehem as a human being. When a baby is only a quarter of an inch long in his mother's womb, the heart is beating, the eyes are there, the mouth has begun to appear. After 6 or 7 weeks, brain activity has begun. One thing that I learned just last week was that if with our human brains we learnt one new fact every second, how long do you think it would take before our brains were full of facts? If we learnt one new thing every second, it would take 10 million years for our brains to be full of information. And that brain begins in our mother's womb. And we're just a few weeks old. Psalm 139 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." Every birth is a miracle, isn't it? But there was an even greater miracle in the beginning of the human life of the Son of God upon this earth. For in Luke 1, verse 26, we read, "In the sixth month God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Now something here puzzles people. It was Joseph who was the descendant of David, not Mary. Yet the Bible tells us that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. How can we understand that? Well, we understand it in this way, I believe. Jesus was born into the family of Joseph, but not by the normal means. He was in the line of David, but only by the power of God, not man. Now, that's important, because it teaches us that the kingdom of God is part of this world, will come to this world, but cannot simply be explained in terms of the reformation of this world, of the renewal of this world. The kingdom of God, as well as being a change in this world, will also be something that breaks in from beyond this world, from heaven itself. The Messiah is the King of Kings, descended from King David, but also he is the King from heaven. So he's born into a family that is descended from David, but he's born not by the power of man, but born from heaven itself. And without that, there would be no hope of the reunion finally of this world with heaven. And the world would simply continue in the way it is going until it gets to hell. But because in Jesus there really is this union of heaven and earth, birth, life, death, and resurrection, there is hope for the world and hope for you and me. Now, although we may disagree with some other denominations about the significance of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Bible does tell us some rather marvelous things about Mary, which we must not forget. For example, in verse 48 here in Luke 1, we read, "For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Mary is speaking, "From now on all generations will call me blessed." In other words, every generation of the world will remember the unique blessedness of Mary. And her cousin Elizabeth said to her in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." In other words, you are more blessed than any other woman in one respect, one very important respect. Notice also the humble heart of Mary. She acknowledges her humble origins and her need of a Savior. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Like all of us, she needed a Savior, for she, like the rest of us, was unworthy of God's kingdom. She needed a Savior. And she was to give birth to that Savior. Now, in some other churches and traditions, Mary is called the Mother of God. I feel more comfortable myself, I don't know about you, with the title given her by her cousin Elizabeth in verse 43, "The Mother of my Lord." I prefer that. Fourthly, we see from the passage that Jesus became our brother man. Becoming one with us, he became our brother human being. Here's a little question for us to ponder. Does that mean that in one sense that Mary is our mother? Remember at the cross, Jesus said to John the Apostle, as Jesus was dying on the cross, there was John there, there was his mother Mary, and he says to John, "From now on, this woman is your mother." That's just a little thought for us. Fifthly, Mary was the first Christian theologian. But Mary, verse 19, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what a theologian is. It's someone who ponders these things, a true theologian, in his or her heart. And she pondered them. And you know, you and I, dear friends, we need to ponder the miracle of our own lives. Just think, each one of us here is fearfully and wonderfully made from the day of our conception to this present day. We need to ponder the significance of the miracle of our own existence. We need sometimes to shut out all the noise of political controversy and ponder what really has gone wrong with this world. We need to ponder the fact that God makes himself known to us in the darkest parts of our lives. For Christ was born to suffer death for our sins so that we might come back to God. God has made himself known most fully, not in the wonder of creation, though he has made himself known wonderfully there, but even more fully in the cross, taking our sin away. We need to ponder that. In the next week or two, we'll be singing lots of the words of these well-known carols. We need, as we sing them, to ponder what they say to our individual lives of God's purpose for us and for the destiny of the world. Humanly speaking, it is to Mary that we owe these stories of the birth of Jesus. It must have been she, surely, who communicated these stories to Luke so he could write them down for us. Verse 34 to 38. How long will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. What are we to make of those verses? Well, if we cast our mind back to the beginning of the universe, there was nothing. Everybody agrees with that. It's not just the Bible that says that. All the scientists say there was nothing. And then out of nothing there came light and space and time. And eventually this planet Earth with no life on it. But then there came plants and fish and birds and reptiles and land animals. And finally humankind. Remember that man and woman, with all our brilliant intelligence and brain that God has given us, cannot make the simplest form of life. We cannot even make a blade of grass, can we? There is miracle everywhere around us. And the succession of miracles, the creation of the universe out of nothing, and the formation of life on this earth, come ultimately from the Word, that is the mind of God spoken, and the Spirit of God. The Spirit moved over this lifeless earth, and from the mind of God, God spoke that Word of life. Now God, who is rich in mercy to us, now moves again by that same Word and Spirit to restore and to save this wonderful world which we have spoiled. And that same Word and Spirit speaks to Mary, moves upon her, and there's new creation. There's new life, there's a new miracle, a new creation. It's the beginning of God's new creation. And what is Mary's response? It is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Now it's difficult and dangerous, you know, for Mary to accept, because she would be blamed for something she hadn't done, and the penalty could have been death. Matthew tells us that it was Joseph who protected her. Do you and I wish to have our place in the new creation, in the reunion of heaven and earth? The Apostle Paul tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And how do we receive that? Well, we come in the same spirit as Mary, who said, I am the Lord's servant. Your will be done in me. That's all. It's very simple. Finally, when we come like Mary, we share in something related to her experience. We are, as the Bible says, born from above. Just as Jesus came from his Father in heaven and joined himself to our human family and later died for our sins, so we who belong to the human family might become part of the family of God through the forgiveness of our sins. So that we call his Father our Father, who art in heaven. This is how John describes the birth of ourselves into the family of God, and it's reminiscent of the birth of Jesus. John says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those that believed on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. And that's what baptism symbolizes. For Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And our place in the family of God comes not primarily from our decision, but from the decision of God. Because he so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you and I, like Mary, say yes to that? What would it lead to if we do? Well, just one thing, and with this we finish. Verse 39 to 45 of Luke 1. At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her would be accomplished." In other words, Mary didn't keep it to herself. She went to her relative, to Elizabeth, and the great blessing that Mary had received overflowed to another person, to Elizabeth, and she received the blessing. Indeed, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and you and I, dear friends, must share the blessing of the Lord with our family, our friends, and all with whom we come in contact. May God give us the grace and the courage and the strength to do that. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we approach Christmas time, we pray that we might ponder anew the miracle of our own existence, the miracle of the existence of the whole universe, but the greater miracle of the bridging of the gulf between heaven and earth through thy Son Jesus. And may we come to him with our hearts and minds open to his grace and love. And we pray that that might overflow from ourselves to others too in this needy and troubled world. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.